In the name of God, Creator, Savior, and Inspiration. Amen. At one time or another, I suspect all of us have heard someone say, "I cannot deal with organized religion." At one time or another, it might even have been one of us who said it. Usually there's an unhappy personal story behind such a statement. I'm not talking about illegal behavior here, but rather about those situations in which a person, too often a clergy person, has followed the rules at the expense of compassion. I knew a married couple, former Roman Catholics, who had become Episcopalians probably 20 years earlier. And when the husband's father died, a day or two later, the Roman priest who was going to officiate at the burial called the home of the son and told the family not to come up for communion during the burial service, because if they did, he would have to refuse to serve them communion. Now, this man may have been trying to keep an awkward situation from developing, and he was definitely following the canons of his church. But that phone call felt like a slap to an already grieving family. Surely there was a more sensitive way that could have been handled. Of course, we know that this sort of thing happens in every denomination, in every religion, because wherever there are human beings, there will be opportunities for loving kindness and opportunities lost. Remember the tale of the Good Samaritan? When those qualified, actually, to preach a sermon on charity passed by the stricken man, but the one vilified by the surrounding community overturned all cultural expectation to show compassion. I'm sure, well, I hope, that all of us in this room consider ourselves kind people. We cannot imagine ignoring a person in obvious need of help. But the sad fact is that multiple studies over the past decades have confirmed the truth of the Good Samaritan parable. These studies found that even seminary students who had been told they needed to hurry from one location to the next, they needed to get there on time, the majority of even those students will pass on by, sometimes actually step over, a person lying prone on the ground and apparently unconscious. Happily, the person was an actor in that case. Interestingly, many of those students who did not offer to help did arrive at their next destination on time, but in an extremely agitated state. Apparently, their hearts did not agree with the decision their minds had made. Which brings us to this morning's gospel. Jesus is working his way toward Jerusalem with his disciples, worshiping at the local synagogue along the way, and taking the opportunity, as was the right of every male Jew, to comment publicly on the scripture readings, kind of like exactly what I'm doing now, except way better, I'm sure. And as he's speaking to the congregation, a woman walks in, bent over, completely unable to stand up straight. And the story tells us that she has been that way for 18 long years. Jesus sees her, and immediately he breaks off in the middle of what he's saying and calls her over. He lays his hands on her, and he heals her. And we're told that immediately she stands up straight and begins to praise God. Celebration all around, right? Wonderful. That's what we might expect, but no. As it turns out, the synagogue leader is offended because this upstart radical rabbi from out of town has overturned God's laws about working on the Sabbath day. And the synagogue leader is telling the crowd over and over, you know, there are 7 days in the week. Come on any of the other six and be healed, but don't come for healing on the Sabbath. At which point, Jesus, shocked by this hard-heartedness, runs out of patience, accuses them all of being hypocrites, and points out that if they had a thirsty ox on the Sabbath day, they would take it to water to let it drink. In other words, you people are taking better care of your animals than of your neighbors. Jesus, who has never laid eyes on this woman before, is the only one in the room who sees the whole picture. He looks behind the foreground of those Sabbath rules and regulations to the reasons for the rules and regulations, to honor God and to care for God's creation. He believes that letting this woman suffer one more day than necessary would have dishonored the God who created her, the God who is love. And so he raises her up, literally and figuratively. He names her a daughter of Abraham, and on God's day, in God's house, he gives her back her life, and he restores her as a visible member of that community. And we have to ask ourselves, what better way could there possibly be than to honor the Sabbath day? We know that situations like this happen. They happen all too frequently. We do behave insensitively. We do allow our hectic schedules to crowd out even a crisis sometime, a situation in which we ought to read out and we just feel like we can't because we've got too much to do that's more important. We can become desensitized to suffering, especially to chronic suffering. And these things are much more likely to happen when we fail to look deeply within our own hearts, to take the time to pay attention, and to come to know ourselves, to slow things down a bit. Because only through willingness to see ourselves as we really are, our dreams, our fears, our motivations, our challenges, simple, but not easy. Only then can we come to see that others are in fact not other, but just like us. Albert Einstein wrote that when human beings experience themselves as separate from one another, he calls it an optical delusion of consciousness. The delusion is a prison for us, he writes, and it's our task to free ourselves from that prison by widening the circle of understanding and compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature. How do we do that? Simply by paying attention to ourselves and to whatever is happening right in this minute, right now. That attention can carry us right to that place we want to go, that knowing. Jesus models for us how to look deeply with fresh eyes, how to see through the baggage of old habits and thoughtless traditions and fears that separate us, and to keep on looking deeper and deeper until we can see ourselves reflected in the eyes of another. Not separate after all.